The slides will start in a minute, but let me give you a little background. If you remember the Mormons, it's called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They call themselves Latter-day Saints because they believe basically the church began with Joseph Smith Jr. 1830. There's two basic groups, but one of the main groups in Salt Lake City. And I just wanted to remind you that Joseph Smith, when he was very young, about 14, he was out in the woods. He wanted to determine which denomination he should be a part of, or which group he should be a part of, and two personages appeared to him. One, and he realized that one was God the Father, and the other was God the Son. And they told him that not to join any group because none of them were right. In fact, they were all wrong. And that what they were going to do is use him to start it. He says all the others were wrong. He said there's a message called the fullness of the everlasting gospel that must be told. And so he was told that. And the message that later on that he understood was that when Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, that when Jesus died on the cross, that for those 3 days he actually came to America to a people group here and gave them the accurate message, really. And for some reason, when he got back to the other side over there, the message wasn't very accurate. And from that point on, it had been wrong. And that so all the denominations, all the groups were wrong and that needed to start it over. And I put up as kind of a slide last time that about 1,800 years had passed before God had given the correct message to a 14-year-old boy. And that's basically what's expected there. We said that when he was in his 20s, he got a message from an angel who was called Moroni. And Moroni was the son of another angel called Mormon. Now, the only problem with that is, the best we can tell from scriptures, angels don't reproduce. So how is this an angel from another angel? But anyway, this angel came and told him that there were some golden plates, that he needed to go find these golden plates that had reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics on them. And when he found certain glasses that he could put on, when he would put on these glasses, he was then able to read the hieroglyphics that are on these plates. I read this last time. This is from the prophet Joseph Smith's testimony. This was given out by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But he talked about seeing the angel who came and then said, let's see if I can find. He said, I've never seen anything like it. This angel, the whiteness was beyond any earthly thing that I'd ever seen. His name was Moroni, that God had a work for me to do, and that my name should be for both good and for evil among all nations. There would be a book deposited written upon golden plates, giving an account of the former inhabitants of this continent and the source from which they sprang. He said that the fullness of the everlasting gospel was contained in it as delivered by the Savior to the ancient inhabitants. So Joseph Smith got this message as a young, he was in his early 20s then. At 14 is where he saw God the Father and the Son, but he's in his 20s. The angel comes to him and gives him a different message. And, of course, you remember, and we've talked about this, that when you think about an angel coming to him giving a message, Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, if I were an angel out of heaven give you a gospel or a message different than what has already been given to you, then let them be accursed. And what you see is an angel coming giving a message that is contrary to what the Scripture has to say. Joseph Smith moved from New York and to Ohio and then did all kind of things and then moved down into Missouri. And had a following, had polygamy, had more than one wife, two or three wives. That was part of the teaching of the group, that he had formed a group, and they began to follow him, saying that he was the new one, the new prophet. He went to a little place outside of Carthage, Missouri. There was some writing from it. Best we can tell, there was some writing by a newspaper condemning Joseph Smith and his group, because people, when they came into town and they came with more than one wife and they were this group, people saw them as a cult. People saw them as something unique. And so the newspaper wrote about it and was very critical. And not long after that article, the newspaper burned down. And many believed that Joseph Smith and his group set fire to the newspaper. Somehow Joseph Smith got arrested. While he was arrested in June 27, 1844, about 200 people stormed the jail and killed Joseph Smith and his brother. At that time, a younger man by the name of Brigham Young took the rest of the group, left, and went further west and ended up what we call it at Salt Lake and what we call Salt Lake City. Today, to be real honest with the teaching, many of the Mormons, people who are connected with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, if you start telling them, what about this teaching, what about this teaching, they don't know the basic teachings of what is taught in the Mormon Church. I mentioned this last week, and I just want to remind you of how the Mormon Church has changed in the last 25 years. 25 years ago, when I first came to Countryside, 23 years ago, if you turned on the television and there was an ad for the Mormon Church, they call themselves the Mormons, and they told you that they could have another testament of Jesus Christ, and it was the Book of Mormon. And if you sent in, they would send you the Book of Mormon. Nowadays, they do a little bit differently. They come on the television, and they talk about being Christians, and they tell you that they'll give you the King James Bible. And then they'll also talk about another testament of Jesus Christ. So their emphasis now is not getting the Book of Mormon, because they know the Book of Mormon connects them with a cult. They want to be mainstream. They want to be be Christians. And so they want to tell people they're Christians, and they've just got some different books and some different things. And so they highlight the King James Bible. So if you watch the commercials, they have very nice-looking people and at very nice settings, and they're talking about how this other testament of Jesus Christ has helped them. And if you want help, you call in, and they'll send you a King James Bible. What they send you, besides the King James Bible, is the Book of Mormon with it. And that's what they do, and that's how they changed their plan the last 25 years. And there are a lot of people today, I mean a lot of people, that if you said, are Mormons like just another Christian denomination? A lot of people would say, oh, yeah, they're just like us. They just got a little, they got different beliefs a little bit, but all groups have different beliefs. They would say, don't Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Church of Christ and Mormons and this, don't they all have different beliefs? And so they look at it as just they're another Christian group. They're not another Christian group, okay? Whereas we begin to look at what do they say about the Bible and Jesus and salvation, we realize that it's not the same Jesus. That's one of the keys. We'll get to that most likely next week, but we could at the very end just mention on that. As we begin to start, we talked about, now that was the background, and let's talk about comparing them with the Bible. And there's three areas that we'll look at as we go through this. We'll talk about when we say compared to the Bible, how does it all fit? What do they say about the Bible? What do they say about Jesus Christ? And what do they say about salvation? If you remember, and of course the membership training today, and when we do membership training, I will talk about this same sort of thing, because when we go through membership training, we talk about what we as a church, Countryside, what do we believe about the Bible, what do we believe about Jesus Christ, and what do we believe about salvation. Those are the big three areas. So when we're looking at the cults, one of the main things we want to do is see what they believe in these big three areas, because once you understand these three areas, if you are grounded in what do you believe about Jesus Christ from the Scripture, what do you believe about the Bible, and what do you believe about salvation, then when you hear things that are contrary to what you know the Bible teaches, immediately you'll be able to go, wait a minute, that's not exactly right. That's not right. Well, in the Mormons, what do they believe? I think the next slide is, what do they believe about, or what do they say about the Bible? Well, they have a number of things. They have a number of things that they consider, and if you want to go to the next slide, a number of things that are considered revelation. First of all, they would say the King James Bible is fine, but they put it this way. The King James Bible, as long as it is properly interpreted, that's their statement, as long as it's properly interpreted. Second, they have a book called The Doctrine and Covenants, which it was written by Joseph Smith. Let me tell you a little bit about it. It has 138 revelations in it, some giving distinct doctrines, some about where they get baptism for the dead, where you have celestial marriage, talks about God and man and heaven. So that's in Doctrine and Covenants. They have a book called The Pearl of Great Price, or the Pearl of Wisdom, or Great Price. The background, it's a history. It really talks about him finding the plates. It also has some different books in there called Books of Moses, Books of Abraham. It gives the history of Joseph Smith, some things like that. The fourth book is the Book of Mormon, which is the history of the ancient civilization in the United States. It's the people in America. It's the people Jesus came to when he died on the cross. And for 3 days and three nights, he was in the heart of the earth. He really wasn't in the heart of the earth. He left the heart of the earth, came over to America, and talked to some people groups. And we'll talk a little bit about that if we have time, who they are and what they did. So Brigham Young also wrote a book called, or writings called, Journal of Discourses. Now, in the Mormon Church, these two men, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, were considered the prophets of the church. And so what Joseph Smith wrote was, in a sense, exactly the same as the Bible. So the King James Bible, Doctrine of Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, Book of Mormon, and Brigham Young's Journal of Discourses, they're all on par with the Bible, because they're all equal. Because this is new revelation that God gave to Joseph Smith. Because remember, when God came to Joseph Smith, everybody else was wrong. Everything had been wrong. From somehow Paul and Peter got it wrong, and going all the way up through history, it's wrong. And so in 1830 or 1840, when all this happened, Joseph Smith, the angel said, you've got to get the right information. Here's the plates that for some reason had been hidden all of this time. The message, the truth and the message was given to a 14-year-old boy in the 1830s because up to that point there had not been a clear, correct message. And so this is what we have. And one of the things, I've got some writings. I told you I had this. This was from a person in town who was the former bishop of the counselor of the student ward of the Church of Jesus Christ. And there's some people had asked him some questions. These are all written down. And these are his answers. And one of the first questions that I read this last time is, what sets your doctrine apart from other Christian churches? See, the assumption is you're just another Christian church. What sets you apart from other Christian churches? And he says, we believe in continuous revelation. The Bible is followed by the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine of Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price or Great Wisdom. And so that's what he says. They ask him, what are the main points of your mission of your church? And that is to help people live better lives and help people become missionaries. I do want to say this one because this comes directly from the person in town. What does your church teach about the afterlife? Well, his first statement is, families are forever. We will spend heaven in family units. Marriages that are performed in the temple are eternal. People on earth can perform sacraments for dead people as proxies. It's up to the people to accept them once they've been baptized for the dead. In other words, a person who has already died and in some place, wherever they want to say it, you can be baptized. We'll talk about it when we get into other doctrines later. But you as a Mormon could go be baptized for that person, and that would save that person if they'll go ahead and accept the salvation you offer to them, even though they're already dead. It's called baptism for the dead. They get it from 1 Corinthians 15:29, which is not dealing with that at all. One of the statements, he talks about the three levels of heaven. We'll get to that. Here's a question that's really powerful in nowadays. What is the role of women in the church? Women can't hold the priesthood but serve as a relief society. Now, if you actually studied the doctrine, the role of the women is to produce the offspring so they can become God. That's why he had more than one wife, because the Mormon teaching, I'm just going to throw this out right now, we'll get more details later, is that there are spirit beings floating around and they need to become people. When they become people, if they live correctly, they'll eventually become gods. So we've got to get these spirit beings into human bodies, and the only way to do that is to produce offspring. And so the more people, more children you can have, the more you're going to be pulling the spirit beings into human bodies so they can begin the process of becoming gods. That's why Joseph Smith wanted more wives. The more wives you have, the more children, the more offspring you can have. That's the teaching. That's how that fits. Well, yes.
Do they feel that spirit beings and angels are one and the same?
I don't. Well, it's a little complicated because
that would be how Mormon could have a son Moroni.
Right. They would also say that Jesus, well, we'll get to it in a minute, but Jesus and Lucifer are spirit brothers. And so they actually believe that Jesus was a spirit being who became a man, who became God. And so when they say Jesus is God, you say, that's exactly what I believe. But see, they believe every human being is going to be a God. So Jesus is just a man who became God. We would say, no, Jesus is God who became a man. It's a little bit backwards, they have it. But anyway, we'll get into that. So the books that they have there, we've seen it. They have extra biblical revelation. 2 Timothy 3, here's the key. All scripture is inspired by God as prophet for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. We have the scripture. There's these new revelations that give us different information. And I mentioned a while ago that Paul was very clear. He said, if somebody comes to you, even if an angel came to you, because see, Paul would say, what if a person comes to you, you might not believe this person. You might say, I'm not believing. But if an angel from heaven came to you and offered you a new information. Now, you remember I've made the story about my friend Eddie Rector. My friend Eddie Rector got new revelation from God. And he's supposed to write, my friend. He's been my friend for years, but he's kind of gone off the deep end, I would say. But he said that he was supposed to write a new part of the Bible. There's the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the New Beginnings. And he got revelation from where? What did he hear singing that morning? angels. It was angels singing through his television set that gave him a message that he was to write down. And I told y'all that when I asked Eddie, what is the message, Eddie? What is the message that God's giving you that's new? And his message was, you don't have to come to Jesus to be saved any longer. The Jews are not God's people, and the book of Revelation is not going to be the same as it was. You know, it's going to be a different ending. Well, all three of those contradict the scriptures. It's not from God. It's not. Whether an angel, Paul said, whether an angel out of heaven comes, if they give you anything different, any gospel message, anything differently, let them be accursed. And so we have an angel from heaven named Moroni coming to Joseph Smith to give him a new gospel message, one that was different because the others were all wrong. And so this is a new gospel message. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Book of Mormon for a second, since we're under what do they say about the Bible. It's the background on ancient civilizations. It goes back to supposedly 2250 B.C. after the Tower of Babel. People went to Central America. Later they were destroyed because they were evil. And then in 600 B.C., before the Babylonians were able to capture all the Jews, some came to America. See, the people living in America were actually somehow of Jewish background. They were called the Nephi. Two groups, the Nephites and the Lamanites. Now, I'm going to have to tell you what they teach. They don't teach it now. See, they taught polygamy, but they don't teach that now because the government won't allow them. So their doctrine changed. They've got another teaching they used to teach. They don't teach it now. It's almost embarrassing for me to say what they taught. But here's what they taught. They taught that there were two groups, the Nephites and the Lamanites. The Lamanites did evil and God cursed them and gave them black skin. That's their teaching. They can deny it all they want. That's the teaching of Joseph Smith. They change it now, and they say, we don't believe that anymore. Oh, so God changes his mind? Your original doctrine was this? It just makes you angry. It's a cult. The book has been around for, you know, since 1840. There have been over 200, I think we've got a slide on this, been over 200 corrections and changes in the book. There are parts of the book that were written directly from the King James, copied from the King James Bible. Of course, this is all supposed to have been written before there was any King James English. So we don't know where they got that. In the Pearl of Great Price, there's a lot of, Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price that contradicts himself. Listen to this. There's a book called Moses, which is in the Pearl of Great Price. And it says God created the heavens and the earth. And then there's another book in that same thing called Abraham, chapter 4, verse 1. It says God's created the heavens and the earth. So in one place they say God created the heavens and the earth. The other place they say God's created the heavens and the earth. Joseph Smith was a prophet who continued to give revelation beside the Book of Mormon. He declared that they would build a house for God, beginning really in Illinois, but he was killed. And so they went further west and ended up in Salt Lake City. Our Salt Lake, which is now Salt Lake City, and they built a temple there. Now, let me give you some places that are contradiction, okay? Let's see them. The first one is this. The Book of Mormon says that there will be a temple. The temple of God will be in Salt Lake City, Utah. But the Bible says the temple of God will be in Jerusalem, that Jesus Christ will come back to the earth, come to the Mount of Olives. He will build a temple and he will rule from Jerusalem as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we've got a contradiction here. Joseph Smith in the Book of Mormon says it's in Salt Lake City, where the Bible says it's in Jerusalem. Second one, just for you to know. The Book of Mormon says that Jesus was born in Jerusalem. I want you to understand that. The Bible says Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And when you look in the Bible very clearly, you see that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, when they come to you and they say, we believe the same as you do, say, no, you don't. You have a different Jesus. Your Jesus was born in Jerusalem. My Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It's two different Jesuses. And sometimes, and I'm going to be helpful in this, they will say, well, I've never heard that. I've never heard Jesus was, we don't believe that. And we'll say, this is what your prophets wrote. Are your prophets accurate? If they're accurate, then they are wrong. And if they're not accurate, they shouldn't be your prophets. If they're not your prophets, you shouldn't be a Mormon. They're wrong both ways. It doesn't matter which way they go. Here's the third thing. That Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. Where the Bible says that Jesus is God and Lucifer was an angel. In some writings by the Mormon Church in 1986, it says this: both the scriptures and the prophets confirm that Jesus Christ and Lucifer are indeed offspring of our Heavenly Father and therefore are spirit brothers. See, the Mormons would believe that Jesus is not eternal God. He is a spirit being that became a man that became God. We would say, yes, Jesus Christ is the eternal God that at a point in time in history became a human being, died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, sent it back to the Father. They would say, no, there's a spirit being out there, like there's thousands and millions of spirit beings, and this one became to this earth and became a human being and lived such a good life that he became God, which is the goal of every human being, to become God. So Jesus is nothing more than he just did the right stuff. In fact, the fourth thing was this, that according to the Book of Mormon, or the teaching of the Mormon, that Jesus was married, and the Bible feels that Jesus was not married. Journal of Discourses, he was married to Martha, Mary, and had children by others. Their teaching, he had numerous children by at least three different wives. That's not the Jesus that I know from the Scripture. The next thing. The Book of Mormon says God the Father has a body. You know why he says he has a body? He says, I saw him. I saw him floating in the air, and he has a body. And when the Bible says the arm of the Lord, it means a literal arm. And when it says his nose, it means a real nose. What do you do with Psalm 91, verse 2, when it says, with his feathers he will cover us? Is he a chicken? If it says the arm of the Lord and his feathers, if he has some kind of body, that psalm says he has feathers to cover us. The Bible says that God is a spirit, John 4:20. I forgot the verse, but it's 4. What is it? 4:24. God is a spirit, and those who worship him will worship him in spirit and truth. Anyway, he's a spirit being. God the Father does not have a body. Jesus Christ has a body. Why? Because he left the glories of heaven and became a human being. Does the Holy Spirit have a body? The Holy Spirit is what kind of being? Spirit being. God the Father is what kind of being? Spirit being. God the Son, Jesus Christ, has a body because he became a human being. Look at the next one. Man becomes a god. That's what they teach. Man becomes a god. Joseph Smith writes this: If you see him now, you would see him in the form of a man like yourselves, talking about God. Then he says, as man is, God was. As God is, man may become. So what Joseph Smith says, if you could see God right now, he would look just like us because he's a person. He's got a body. And as man is right now, God was, because God became a man and was just like us, and then he became a god, and so as God is, man may become. You become a god too. In the 60s and 70s, when all of the information about the Mormons was being put out, one of the main video things in those days was called the God Makers, because that's the teaching of the Mormon Church, that you can become a god. Now, the one who gets all the privileges in this is the men. It's always that way. The man gets all the wives. The man has all the sex, because what he wants to do is, I got to produce these offspring. And the men are the ones that have the Godhead, and they have their worlds, and the families are staying together because the man is the head of the family and the woman is the reproducer. That's her main job. Don't you notice when you get into the cults and the false religions, it's always the men that have the head of everything and the women are always pushed down? Just look at Islam. Mormonism is the same thing. The last one in that group is that there are many gods, but the Bible says there's just one God. Doctrine and Covenants says this: in the beginning, the head of the gods called a council of the gods, and they came up with a plan to create and populate the world. That's from Doctrine and Covenants. That's the teachings. There was all the gods came together and decided to come up with a plan. Now, If you have the Book of Mormon plus the writings of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, they all added together, they contrary to the Scripture and they contradict themselves. So they have extra biblical revelation contrary to the Word of God. Now, we've already had the first bell.
Yes.
We did. Okay. Here's what I want to do for a second. That's different things about the Scripture. Let me give you something. No, that's right. What do they say about Christ? I don't have slides on this one right now. We'll have them next week, but I want to give you some things about Christ. What do they say about Christ? Some of them have already mentioned. I just want you to know that when they say to you, we believe in Jesus just like you do, and some of them use the exact same terminology, but if you go back to the teachings, it's not the same. Listen to this. They say Jesus Christ is God. We say, that sounds good to me. Yes, but all people are going to be God. Jesus Christ was a man who became God. No, Jesus Christ is God who became man. Jesus was born in Jerusalem. Jesus was born of, now this is one we're going to get in more detail next week. He was born of Adam, God, and Virgin Mary. Now we know that the Scripture teaches that Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. The Mormon teaching is that Adam, the Adam of Adam and Eve, Adam became a god. Adam came, Adam God, and had sexual relations with Virgin Mary and produced Jesus. That's what the Mormons teach. Adam God and Virgin Mary, not the Holy Spirit and Virgin Mary. Jesus and Lucifer are brothers, spirit brothers. And Jesus was married to Mary, Martha, and some places Mary Magdalene as well. More on this next time. Let me give you, I know that was the second bell. Let me give you some applications very quickly, okay? Because we've got them right here. I just want you to touch on them. Know the Word of God. Be ready to give an answer. Remember, that's our goal. Be ready to give an answer. 2 Timothy talks about the Scripture. 2 Peter 1 comes from God. Galatians says if an angel comes, be careful. Know the Word of God so that you can be ready to give an answer. And then number two, know how the Mormon writings contradict the Word of God. Have a basic understanding of some of the things I've showed you today just on how the Scripture doesn't match and how it doesn't match with Jesus and those kind of things so that when you talk to them. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I'll tell you next week, you start bringing these things to them and they will say, I've never heard that before. Or, we don't really believe that. Or, the Mormon church doesn't believe that now. And you say, but it used to believe that because that's what your prophets wrote. Now, have you changed your prophets? Are you going away from your prophets? What's the deal? And so it's a terrible thing. All right, have a basic knowledge of the Mormons and how they differ from the Scripture and know the Word of God and be ready. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we did have the second bell, didn't we? We did? Or we didn't? Okay, let's pray. I don't want to pray too soon, you know. Okay, Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Help us as we continue to study this and put it together. Help us, Lord, to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. Help us, Lord, to know what we believe, that we might be grounded in the truth of your word so that we can be ready to stand strong and that in love and grace and mercy we can show the truth to those who disagree, those who do not know the truth, and be able to help them. And, Lord, maybe some of those would trust in Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, and trust in him for eternal life. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.